Good evening. Was Pompeo funding a war in Yemen? More on racial discrepancies and COVID-19 deaths in New York, and why so many deaths in nursing homes in the state. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with some of the news for Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. President Donald Trump threatened to hold up federal President Donald Trump threatened to hold up federal funds for two election battleground states that are trying to make it easier and safer to vote during the coronavirus pandemic on Wednesday. Trump's tweets targeted Michigan and Nevada. It's an escalation in his campaign against voting by mail. Trump has said he fears the practice could cause his defeat in November. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have approved mail voting as a safe option during the pandemic. Trump didn't threaten Republican-run states doing the same thing. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, an ally of Trump, says he's not concerned about the threats. His administration has also approved mailing absentee ballot applications to all registered voters in the state. And an Associated Press poll shows strong oppositions among Americans to reopening public places. That, as many states step up efforts to return to normal. More than half of Americans polled say they're very or extremely concerned about lifting restrictions that might cause new infections. 29% are somewhat concerned and 16% are not concerned at all. But the polling also showed the president's call to reopen the country has made inroads and the numbers are slowly shifting. But a partisan divide remains, with less than half of Republicans but more than 70% of Democrats supporting the lockdown. And the Supreme Court on Wednesday temporarily prevented the House of Representatives from obtaining a secret grand jury testimony from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. The Federal Appeals Court in Washington ruled in March that the documents should be turned over. The Supreme Court order will keep the documents secret until at least early summer. A pandemic of pollution has been released by the White House, according to Democratic Senator Tom Carper of Delaware. The statement came out during hearings today of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. Administrator Andrew Wheeler says the Environmental Protection Agency remains open for business and had approved 400 new disinfectants to help deal with the pandemic. Wheeler cited lifting protections for some of the millions of miles of streams, creeks, and wetlands in the United States, claiming the rule change provides regulatory certainty and predictability for American farmers, landowners, and businesses. Democrats say the EPA removed critical protections for public health under the guise of industry relief and economic growth. And President Donald Trump's purge of several internal watchdogs at U.S. agencies could hobble anti-fraud oversight for the $3 trillion in federal relief measures aiding businesses, state governments, and others hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic. These inspectors generals, known as IGs, have been appointed by presidents or agency heads since the late 1970s. In the past 6 weeks, Trump has ousted five IGs after saying he lost confidence in them. Two IGs were involved in high-profile investigations involving Trump or his allies. On Friday, Trump fired State Department IG Steve Linnick. The removal was at the request of Secretary Mike Pompeo. Pompeo was being investigated for allowing appointees to walk his dog and pick up packages, but also for his involvement in an arms deal with Saudi Arabia opposed by both parties in Congress. Last week, Trump announced an emergency existed with Iran without any proof, allowing him to make an end run around the House and provide weapons to the Desert Kingdom, weapons purchased from American defense contractors. Pompeo spoke today.
There are claims that this was for retaliation, for some investigation that the Inspector General's office here was engaged in. It's patently false. I have no sense of what investigations were taking place inside the Inspector General's office. Couldn't possibly have retaliated for all the things. I've seen the various stories that someone was walking my dog to sell arms to my dry cleaner. I mean, it's all just crazy. It's all crazy stuff. So I didn't have access to that information, so I couldn't possibly have retaliated. It would have been impossible. There's one exception. I was asked a series of questions in writing. I responded to those questions with respect to a particular investigation that was sometime earlier this year, as best I can recall. Responded to those questions. I don't know the scope. I don't know the nature of that investigation other than what I would have seen from the nature of the questions that I was presented. I did what was right. I don't know if that investigation is continuing. I don't know if that investigation has been closed out. I don't have any sense of that. Again, it's not possible that further have been retaliation. Here's the last thing to think about as you see these stories that have been leaked to you all, right, to the press. This is all coming through the office of Senator Menendez. I don't get my ethics guidance from a man who was criminally prosecuted, case number 15-155 in New Jersey Federal District Court. A man for whom his Senate colleagues bipartisan said basically that he was taking bribes. That's not someone who I look to for ethics guidance. And so I'll continue to do the right thing to make sure the State Department is served by every employee, including our attorney inspector general. And we'll make sure the State Department continues to deliver on behalf of the American people.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez is on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He says the IG firings are undermining the Constitution.
This is an assault. This is the fourth time we have had an inspector general go from different departments. It seems to always happen on a Friday night. And this is an assault on the checks and balances that governments have over the agencies of the federal government. And that's why we need to investigate it. Whether it was the Saudi arms sales, whether it was personal use, whether it is, there are some reports about, hosting dinners that were really not within the purview of the Secretary of State at the State Department, whatever it was, the bottom line is we need to get to the root cause of why the Inspector General was fired.
Senator Bob Menendez, President Trump defended his firing of IG Linick. He says it's his right as president to fire whom he wants.
I was asked to by the State Department, by Mike. I offered most of my people, almost all of them. I said, these are Obama appointees, and if you'd like to let him go, I think you should let him go, but that's up to you. He's an Obama employee. I understand he had a lot of problems with the DOD. There was an investigation on him, on the inspector general. I don't know anything about it. So I don't know him, never heard of him, but they asked me to terminate him. I have the absolute right as president to terminate. I don't know what's going on other than that, but you'd have to ask Mike Pompeo. We've been treated very unfairly by inspector generals. I can go into instances, but I'm not going to do it now. But the inspector generals, when they're put in by Obama, just like it could be that if they were put in by me and it was somebody else's administration, especially the other party, it could very well be that you'd be treated unfairly. But we've had a lot of cases where we thought that was unfair. They asked me to do that. I think the big thing is that they should have asked me to do it a long time ago.
But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat, says Trump is violating the law.
Congress passed a law about sales to Saudi Arabia, arms sales to Saudi Arabia. And in that department, they declared it fake emergency in order to initiate the sales. And then and that may have been part of the investigation. That's what I'm very concerned about, because not only did they do something wrong in declaring an emergency that was a fake emergency, but they undermined the will of Congress. I am, and bipartisan. We had a bipartisan agreement on all that. So this remains to be seen. I guess it's unfolding before our very eyes.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the Obama administration also supported arms sales to Saudi Arabia. The arms sales are provided by the United States defense contractor Raytheon, the arms, a company that builds missiles and other weapons components. Many of these weapons have found their way into the military of a coalition of the Saudis and United Arab Emirates involved in a bloody civil war in Yemen. Shireen Al-Adami is assistant professor at Michigan State University. She's from Yemen. Al-Adami says the war is being pursued for purely profit-driven reasons.
There's basically been a stalemate if you want to look at who controls what. So for the most part, the Houthis, who had set up their own government in northern Yemen and Sana'a, control most of the north, former North Yemen. And the coalition forces control most of former South Yemen. There's still some battleground areas. But the other escalation is that in South Yemen, there have been ongoing clashes more recently with one group that's being supported by the Saudis, and that's the so-called legitimate president of Yemen that they're trying to reinstall, and another group that is being funded and supported by the UAE, which seeks to secede from North Yemen altogether. And so these are, of course, competing interests, and the different forces have been clashing in South Yemen more recently.
And the human rights situation, it was dire the last time we talked. What's been happening with that?
it's worse now. The statistics are still not very clear, but we know that, you know, at the very least, a child is dying every 10 minutes of starvation or preventable diseases. There are documented cases of cholera that have just that continue to grow. There are other outbreaks as well, so dengue fever and diphtheria and H1N1 or swine flu. These are outbreaks that have ravaged the country. The healthcare system is barely functioning because half of the hospitals have either been bombed or completely depleted of resources, and the other half are barely functioning at, let's say, 10% capacity. So there's no way that they're able to manage and deal with all of these outbreaks.
Dad, what is happening with COVID?
For the longest time, there weren't any cases. The World Health Organization was tracking travelers. Of course, Yemen is under blockade, so there's a lot less travel from into the country. But in areas where the airports were open, they started documenting cases. And now in South Yemen, most of the cases are documented in South Yemen. It grew from zero to several hundreds in the last couple of weeks, and many people have died. There's not enough capacity to test everybody, let alone to treat everyone who's been infected or who's been ill. So by the time people show up to the hospital, they're often gravely ill or they just die in their homes before they even make it to the hospital. The mortality rate is 16% in Yemen, which is quite scary.
What's the aid situation? Is the war getting in the way of aid getting to areas?
Organizations like the World Food Program and USAID and now the World Health Organization and UNHCR and other UN agencies there, they've cut aid dramatically to Yemen. Some of it is because they're citing their own funding shortages. They've also given other reasons, such as trying to impose certain things on the Houthi government in the north, things like biometric data collection. The situation is so dire that people who now rely on aid, which is 80% of the population, many of those people live in northern Yemen, have now had their aid either cut entirely or dramatically reduced. This is really as worse as it gets.
Controversy that's popped up here with the firing of the Inspector General in the State Department by Mr. Pompeo. Is this an arms deal type of thing where people are just profiting, or is there some strategic thing going on?
This is just nothing but an arms profiteering. Raytheon, which is based in Massachusetts, and Lockheed and Boeing have made tremendous amounts of money from this war in Yemen by selling their weapons to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And the Trump administration has shown a commitment to continue to sell arms, even when Congress has said that this war is unconstitutional, that we should not be selling arms to the Saudis or working with them in any way. We continue to support them militarily because we profit significantly from those contracts. Last year, I remember there was news that the Trump administration was going behind Congress to try to send arms shipments. And now that there is an investigation going on about that, we see that the personnel is being fired. And this is not surprising to me. It shouldn't be surprising to Democrats. I think for a long time they've allowed Trump, and before Trump even Obama, to continue weapon sales to the Saudis and the Emiratis, knowing that this is causing significant harm to the Yemeni population, that they're not even able to fight back. People have called this a genocide because you have a population that's not able to defend itself, is completely at the mercy of these international coalition countries that has been bombing and starving Yemen and blockading it for the last 5 years.
Where does this go from here, do you think?
There's no hope for internal conflicts to end without seizing arms and support to the Saudi-led coalition, for us to call for an end to any intervention in Yemen. There are a lot of problems within Yemen, but they're more than capable of handling their local issues. And I don't think that foreign interference can bring anything good. Yemenis don't need aid. They need to have the blockade lifted. They need to have people stop bombing them, bombing their homes and their water resources and their hospitals and their airports. And so we need to continue to push our own government to be held accountable for their criminal role in this war in Yemen.
Right. So this is a situation that Yemeni people are more than capable of dealing with. They've been dealing with their own differences and difficulties for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And why are these foreign powers there?
Yemen, of course, has a geopolitical importance to Saudi Arabia and the United States. And as long as our manufacturers continue to make a lot of money, these are war crimes and crimes against humanity that are continuing on. And they need to end if there's any hope.
Shireen Al-Adeimi is assistant professor at Michigan State University. The World Health Organization has warned the virus is spreading undetected among Yemen's population, divided between the government in the south and the Houthi group based in the north. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to kill, a reduced rate of hospitalization in New York means religious groups will be allowed to have small gatherings as well as drive-in and parking lot services. Governor Andrew Cuomo says churches, synagogues, mosques, and more will be allowed to have gatherings of up to 10 people statewide. At his daily briefing, the governor shared more results from a statewide survey of about 8,000 people at church sites to see where the coronavirus is affecting communities most.
We found about 27% of the individuals testing positive. 27%, that's compared to the New York City general population of about 19%. Okay? The Bronx had the highest percentage, 34%, again compared to a citywide average of 19%. Then Brooklyn, then Manhattan, then Queens. Staten Island was right at the New York City overall number. And the data shows not just a high positive, but the spread is continuing in those communities, and that's where the new cases are coming from, okay? For example, Morrisania in the Bronx, 43% of the people tested positive. Hospitalization rate, 3.2 people for every 100,000, compared to 1.8. It is double the hospitalization rate.
The governor also announced a Wear a Mask for New York ad contest with voting on five finalists until May 25th when a winner is picked. He says the masks work.
How do nurses and doctors have a lower infection rate than the general population? How do transit workers who are on the buses and subways all day long have a lower infection rate than the general population? How does the NYPD, police officers who show up, who are dealing with people all day long, how do they have a lower infection rate? How does the NYPD have almost half the infection rate of New York City? How can it be? They're the police officers. They're wearing the mask. The mask works. Those surgical masks work.
One of the areas with stubborn outbreaks of COVID have been nursing homes. In March, as fears were raised of a massive shortage of hospital beds due to the virus, Cuomo ordered nursing homes to take patients testing positive for the disease as long as they could handle them. But images of dead patients piling up at homes at some of the homes led to criticism of the governor's decision. Today, Cuomo defended his action. He says his decision was based on CDC guidelines.
Is the best use of a hospital bed to have somebody sit there for 2 weeks in a hospital bed when they don't need the hospital bed because they're not urgently ill, they're just waiting to test negative on the antibody test, which can take 2 weeks, and you need that hospital bed for somebody who may die without it? Second fact, a nursing home cannot accept a patient who they are not qualified to handle. For a COVID patient, a nursing home must say, I can quarantine, I can isolate, I have the right staff, I have the right PPE, or else that nursing home should not take that patient. And third point, we always had alternative beds. Any nursing home that says, I can't take that COVID patient for whatever reason, I don't even care what the reason is. I don't have the staff, I don't have the time, I'm overstressed, I don't have the PPE. We always have alternative beds.
The governor partly curbed the policy earlier this month. Now hospital patients must test negative for the coronavirus before they can be discharged to nursing homes. President Trump and others have called for a Department of Justice investigation of Cuomo into the massive number of deaths in the state's nursing homes. No formal probe has been announced. The governor says probe away. He doesn't care.
If the federal government wants to start a probe, then they can start a probe. What do I have to do with whether or not a federal probe happens or not?
Why do you think the death toll is so much higher?
It is irrelevant to me. I have no role in determining a federal probe. I don't welcome, not welcome. It doesn't matter. President Trump does what he wants to do. He doesn't listen to a governor.
In the United States, at least 28,000 residents and workers in nursing homes have died from COVID-19. In New York, more than 5,400 died in nursing homes, about 20% of all COVID deaths. In New Jersey, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut, more than 50% of all COVID deaths were in long-term care facilities. Last Friday, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation denied certification for National Grid's proposed Northeast Supply Enhancement Pipeline project, a pipeline that was going to bring natural gas from an offshore terminal through Brooklyn along Flatbush Avenue. The gas would have come from fracking operations in Pennsylvania. Brooklyn representatives like Representative Nydia Velazquez and public advocate Jumaane Williams and many residents and environmentalists oppose the project. Governor Cuomo says people aren't using enough gas to justify the pipeline.
The Long Island gas providers, the utility companies, said that they didn't need that gas supply, right, because the demand has dropped. It was a warmer winter. So the utility companies are the ones who say they don't need additional gas. On the alternatives, I haven't gone through them all, but whatever we need to do, we will do. But it's the utility companies themselves that said they didn't need the pipeline.
The decision is final, but the companies may look for alternative pipeline projects. In the city, speaking today, Mayor Bill de Blasio also addressed the deaths in nursing homes.
As many test kits as the nursing home needs, we will provide. We're working with a lab to do the processing, so this will be a dedicated effort focused on the nursing homes, all 169 of them. And whatever amount of tests they need, whatever amount of lab capacity they need, we will find it for them. If every nursing home does this consistently, we believe it will take us up to a need of about 3,000 tests a day. And we want them. We want all the nursing homes. Again, we don't control them. There's a few that are in the domain of our public health system, but the vast majority are private, nonprofit, that we don't control, we don't regulate. But we're offering this to all for free.
And the head of Health and Hospitals Corporation, Michael Katz, said there are no mysterious sources of COVID infections in New York, but officials will be keeping a close watch.
What we're watching is to make sure it doesn't go back up, that we don't have a large number of unexplained influenza-like illnesses. That would be very worrisome, and that would suggest that we were having another wave of COVID. But as long as it keeps bouncing around at this low level, this is what we would expect to see in any community. And there's even a possibility, as people feel more comfortable going to hospitals with minor illnesses, it could even bump up a little bit. We're mostly watching it to make sure that we have no major increase, as we saw when the pandemic exploded in New York City.
That's Michael Katz, the head of the Health and Hospitals Corporation in New York. And WBAI got a mention by the mayor. Reporter Jillian Jonas asked de Blasio about long-term failures in nursing homes.
On the nursing homes, look, Jillian, I appreciate the question. And since it's WBAI, which is a station I have a lot of respect for and appreciate the role you've played in history, I think you will especially appreciate that the answer gets to the root of things. I think one of the big problems here is this is an example of something being done by the private sector that maybe shouldn't be done by the private sector. I'm not saying there aren't good nursing homes, but I am saying we've seen really uneven realities in this industry, and the economics are really tough.
And thank you very much, Jillian Jonas, for asking that question and getting a thumbs up there from Mayor de Blasio. And that's some of the news for Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. For the WBAI News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.